A very good afternoon once again to you all, and we shall continue our study of the book of John. And I thought it good that we will not rush through chapter 1. And so this afternoon we want to look at this particular passage from verses 15 to 18, and particularly on our focus, of course, will be on mainly verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And it's interesting to note that in my preparation of this sermon, that I came to realize that in the morning we were looking at the book of Ecclesiastes, and of course the essence of the book of Ecclesiastes is to warn us of a life that is without God, without Christ. And here then in the afternoon, we are studying the book of John, and we have this teaching from our Lord Jesus concerning that it is possible, and God has already made it available to us to have this fullness of life only in Christ. And I would also, this morning, as I've forgotten to bring out to you that for your spiritual edification, and in line with what we are considering both in our study of the book of Ecclesiastes and also of the book of John, there is this book written which I would recommend to you that you either buy it or you can borrow it from me. And this is a very good book to give us what it is to have the life of God in the soul of man. And this is the title. I don't know whether you can see. All right. It's by Henry Scruger. I want to tell you that it's very interesting that in this book was given to George Whitfield by his friend Charles Wesley. And this book was instrumental in Whitfield conversion. And this book provided much of the stimulation behind the Methodist revival of Britain and the Great Awakening in America. This book by Henry Scruger, he is born in the 1600, died in 1657 at the age of 27. And so I strongly recommend this book to you. Now, let us turn to our text. And of his fullness have we all received. The person referring to in the text of his fullness, who is this his? Is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus, I trust, is familiar to all of you. It is a name which will be found written upon the hearts of the true believers in Christ when they die. The text informs us that there is a fullness in Christ. There is a fullness of the essential deity. For we are told, or rather Paul, the apostle, tells us in Colossians 2:9, for in him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You who are Christian believers, have you experienced the fullness that is in Christ Jesus? Have we really understood what it is that in Christ there is this fullness in him for the Christians. And so let me just briefly explain what this fullness is all about. First, there is a fullness of perfect manhood, for in him bodily that Godhead was revealed. Partakers of flesh and blood, made in all things like unto his brethren, there was nothing lacking in Christ that was necessary to the perfection of humankind in our Lord Jesus. There is also fullness of atoning efficacy in Christ's blood. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Then there is the fullness of justifying righteousness in his life. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Then there is also a fullness of divine providence in our Lord's plea, for he is able to save to the uttermost them that came unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. There is fullness of victory in his death, for through death Christ destroyed the evil one that had the power of death. There is fullness of efficacy in Christ's resurrection from the dead, for by it are begotten again to a lively hope. There is fullness of triumph or victory in Christ's ascension, for when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and received gifts for men. There is fullness of blessing unspeakable, unknown, a fullness of grace to pardon, of grace to regenerate, of grace to sanctify, of grace to persevere, of grace to perfect. There is a fullness at all times, a fullness by day and a fullness by night, a fullness of comfort in affliction, a fullness of guidance in prosperity, a fullness of every divine attribute of wisdom, of power, of love, a fullness which it were impossible to survey, much less to explore. So, brethren, do we really realize and come to a deeper and a fuller understanding and appreciation of who Christ is and what he has given to us, that what we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ as God's people, all these are for us. But yet, sadly, so many Christians are not availing himself or herself to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not diligently seek after the Lord. We do not, we have a very low view of our Savior, what it is in him and why God sent him to us, and what a blessing it is to be a child of God, to have all this available for our use in Christ. There is everything somehow in the total, the gathering together of all things in one, Jesus. It pleased God the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell. Colossians 1:19. It is futile, it is fruitless indeed to strive to recount the holy wonder, all the fullness of it. It is in fact impossible for us to really survey and search out the fullness of Christ. It were a theme which would exhaust an angel's tongue to tell. The fullness which resides in Jesus our head and ever abides to answer all our needs, all our prayer. Brethren, let us set our hearts and our thoughts on this text as we look further into this text. Of his fullness have all we receive. And so we ask once again, have you, dear friends, received the fullness of Christ? Do you know what the Lord Jesus in him has done for you? The text seems to me to suggest four reflections. First, it is an appeal to our gratitude. Glory be to Christ, for of his fullness have all we received. Secondly, we may know the identity of, or the true identity of the people of God, for of his fullness have all we received. Thirdly, it is an admonition to the believers to be grateful, to be humble, for it is of his fullness we have received. And then in the last place we want to consider, it is a word of invitation to the sinners. Come. All the saints invite you. All the Christians invite you to come. For of his fullness have all they received. Our subject this afternoon is the fullness of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. In comparison to the life that we have considered, or the life that King Solomon went through, a life filled up, waxing of the spirit without Christ. First of all, our thought is, glory be to Christ for his fullness. We praise the Lord Jesus for all his fullness is what the Christian believers receive. The fullness of Christ appealed to those right from the beginning who died before the flood. Ask those who walk in the footsteps of Enoch. Go forward also to Noah, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Put this question to them. Put this question to David, to Samuel. And then also put this question to the prophets, to Isaiah, to Jeremiah. Ask them. Ask them this. From where came your faith? From where did you have the power to suffer and your strength to conquer and to overcome all the trials of life, all the trials that they went through? And you will be very sure that with united breath, they answer, of his fullness who was yet to come in the flesh, we by faith received. And then move later on in time. Ask the Christians in later time. Summon the apostles in the New Testament. Summon the Christians in the early church and ask them the same question. From where came your righteous testimony and your unwavering faithfulness? And they reply with the voice of the apostle John, their leader, of his fullness have all we received. Then again, go even further, appeal to the 10,000s and thousands of martyrs who died a bloody and a cruel death for the cause of Christ. Ask them also, from where came your victory? Victory over the trials of your faith. And they once again reply, we have overcome through the blood of the Lamb. Of his fullness have all we received. And then next you should go through also in the early church again, the list of reformers, those who are before us, and you should ask people like Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, Melanchthon, Wycliffe, John Huss, Jerome, and John Knox, and there is not one of them who will dare say to you that he had anything of his own. You should also turn over to the list of all the great preachers, ministers of the gospel, and summon them one by one. And you should say to people like Augustine, Chrysostom, to Bernard, to those in the later days, such as people in this country, in the early days, Latimer, Tyndale, Hopper, and to the men who later still, with Whitfield and with Wesley, preached the word, and asked them, from where came your boldness in your confession and in your preaching? From where came your strength to bear the human scorn and yet never flinch, much less to withdraw your testimony? And they all reply, of his fullness have all we received. Brethren, what a fullness this must be, isn't it? When you think that a multitude of believers, which no man can number, accompanied beyond all human count, have all received Christ Jesus. In him is the fullness of life. There is not one of them that has received too little. They are all, as Samuel Rutherford, one of the nonconformists, says this, drowned debtors to his grace, or, as we put it, overhead and years in debt to him. They are so indebted that they will never know how much they owe, but they feel that an eternal song will not be too long to utter their grateful praise to our Lord Jesus Christ. Fullness indeed must there be in him when all these streams have been continuing flowing through the ages, and yet Christ our Lord is not dry. When all their mouths have been filled, and yet the storehouse is not empty. You cannot exhaust the fullness that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. When all these thirsty ones have had their drink, and yet the wellspring, or rather the well springs up as free, as rich, as full as ever. And then we must also take note once again that not only did they all receive of his sense, they all received all that they had. They had nothing of their own. No apostles, no Christian will say, so far I am a debtor, but here I stand and claim the honor for myself. No, they will not say that. They will not make that confession. With sin begins and ends the whole story of man, but grace began before the good. For every good desire, for every holy thought, for every well-spoken word, for every good deed, for every act of self-sacrifice, let the Lord Jesus Christ be honored, for everything has come of him. So brethren, again I ask, have you forgotten that this is the life that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to you, that in him there is fullness, all that you ever need in this life, for your spiritual need, your temporal need, all is found in the Lord Jesus. If there be any virtue, any praise, anything that is lovely and of good report, go and cast it at Jesus' feet. For all this and much more came from our Lord Jesus Christ. He sowed the seed out of which it grew. He created nature out of which all these good things sprung. Oh, what a fullness, isn't it? What a fullness from which all the saints, all the Christian believers receive all that they have. It is always blessed and comforting for the child of God, for the people of God, to know that in Christ there is enough for all the shades, enough for each, enough for evermore. And when they have it all and everything that they can have, still there is as much left as when they began. Brethren, therefore, come quickly to the Lord Jesus. If you have not realized this, that there is this fullness in the Lord Jesus Christ, then come quickly to him. You who are wearied with your day of labor and toil, for the well is ever full, come at any time, any day, for still you shall find that well is full. Never exhausted, nay, never diminished, always springing up, always overflowing. So come and drink of Christ's fullness, for the supply is ever abundant, and it is all readily available to you. You must take home the text and think of it and meditate upon it for yourselves, brethren, and thereafter say in your heart, of his fullness too have I received, and glory be unto his holy name. We move on now to come to our second thought on this text, the identity of a true Christian. The identity of a true Christian, or the identity of an enlightened Christian. The true Christian has all from Christ. You remember that the Apostle Paul said of himself that he was the chief of sinners. A little while before that, he says what? He was the least of all the saints. And then last of all, he says, though I be nothing. John Newton says this, I quote, young Christians think themselves little. Growing Christians think themselves nothing. Full-grown Christians think themselves less than nothing, unquote. So as we grow up, as we grow up, we grow down. As Christ increases, we must decrease. As Christ is glorified, the flesh gets dishonored in our esteem. Now, it beckons the following questions. And this is for all of us. We ask, did you receive all the grace you have from Christ? Is he all in all to you? Contemplate upon this very carefully, dear friends. Are you resting wholly and simply and only on Christ? Can you say with the blind man who was blind from birth, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see? John 9:25. Have you learned to depend on Christ for all things and diligently seek after him? And that you will not depend on yourself? Have you seen the rottenness and the emptiness of all human merit and all human endeavor? Have you learned the deceitfulness and desperate wickedness of all human trust? If so, then rejoice, brethren, rejoice, for you belong to that company who can say, of his fullness have all we received. May the Lord help us to follow the example of the Apostle Paul when he says that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. Philippians 3:9. And our final thought is this, on this text, an admonition to the believers to be grateful and humble. Should not the believer be of all men the most honorable, having received all the fullness that is in Christ? Yet there are proud Christians. There are some, or rather there is some pride which a Christian will entertain and almost think it is humility. It is a pride about his experience or her experience, a pride of having grown wise at last. He or she thinks that they have learned too much ever to be proud, which proves that he is puffed up beyond measure. And to such Christians who are proud and arrogant and boastful, we say as the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? Here means, why are you proud or boastful as if thou hast not received it? So, brethren, how many there are because they have received more from God than others. That is, they are greater debtors than others. Indeed, they are proud. You have more gifts than I have, do you? Well, it only means you have got twice as much work to do as I have. So you have got more wealth than I. That means you are more in debt to God than I. And you are proud of being in debt. Let the Christian be a humble-minded person. For what we have, have we not received it from God? And therefore, let us next be grateful, be thankful. All that we have received is from Christ. Let us love Him. When our friends give us or show us love, we love them in return. But what is that which we own, father, mother, husband, wife, or friend, compared with what we owe to Christ? Have you thought of that? How much we owe to our Lord Jesus? Let your hearts burn, my dear friends. Let your love be inflamed. Fall at Jesus' feet. Embrace them with affection. Spend and be spent for Him. Live unto Christ and be ready to die for Christ. For all you have received of His fullness. We ask once again, and this is a very pointed question to all of us. Have you ever made a sacrifice for Christ? He gives us blood, and what do we give Him in return? We give Him few tears. He gave us sweat, and we give Him cold services. He gave us groans, and we give Him languishing hymns. He gives us life and death, body, soul, and spirit, and we give Him only what we can spare after we have first looked to ourselves, and not all that in the most of the cases. Brethren, let us feel gratitude to Christ. A fire within our bones, as a flame within our hearts, and a sevenfold strength in our spirit, not only to believe in His name, but also to suffer for his sake. Let gratitude be the inspiration of our lives as Christian believers. And then finally, we want to look at this last point very briefly. And that is this thought. The text suggests to me that it is an invitation to receive the fullness that is in Christ. An invitation to receive the fullness that is in Christ. So sinners, you who are not a believer, you need a new heart. You will never be able to make new your own heart. The Lord Jesus must give it to you. So you need repentance. You can never repent of yourself. He is exalted and on high to give repentance. So you desire a sense, do you? Desire a sense of your own sin and sinfulness? He can make you feel it, for He Himself felt it. So do you feel your sin? And if you do and you say you want to have it pardoned, He can pardon it, and without exception. He has power to forgive sins on earth, no matter how vile you have been. He can pardon you. He is able to wash and to cleanse out that real stain and make you whiter than snow. Of His fullness have all the hosts in heaven received. Of His fullness have all the Christians on earth received. And you, poor sinners, is no exception. You shall receive too. They had nothing to bring to Christ any more than you have. Remember this. They came to Him lost as you can possibly be. He saved them, and He can save you. He asked you to do nothing of yourselves, but to trust Him and Him alone. He is God. Trust the omnipotent one. He is perfect man. Trust the meritorious one. He died. Trust His dying sacrifice. He lives. Trust His authoritative plea. Friends, if I ask you to trust a man, then you have every reason to object or refuse to follow. But I beg you, I plead with you to trust in no mere man, but in Christ that died upon the cross. He is worthy of your trust. On the other side of eternity, millions redeemed from death and hell will tell you, worthy is the Lamb. And thousands here below will tell you too, that He is worthy of all your confidence and trust. May the Spirit of God graciously lead you out of yourself into Christ and enable you once for all to put your trust in Him. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, indeed, we confess our faith is so weak, and we pray that Thou will be gracious and merciful in this new week that You have very graciously granted to us as You lent us breath. We pray once again, Father, that Thou will increase our faith, increase our hope and our trust in You, that we may live our lives in this new week with preparation to meet our Savior, that we may understand further and to realize the brevity of our life, and that we have to stand before God soon. And Father, we pray that Your Spirit will continue to speak to our hearts and strengthen us, particularly those who are weak. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou will direct our hearts and our thoughts unto Thee, and that we may diligently seek after You while You may be found. So, Lord, we pray that Thou will help us in our unbelief and help us to fully put our trust and our hope and our confidence in Thee. Hear this, our prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.